Hi, Sharon, honey.
Hi, honey.
Well, I want everybody to know that Sharon and I just did a terrific recording and went through the whole thing.
We did a terrific talk. We just didn't record it.
We thought it was recording, and then we looked up at the computer screen, and it was not
recording. It wasn't there.
Anyway, the reason that we wanted to do this was because a few weeks ago we recorded an audio about how self-esteem was related to purchase behavior.
It was on laddering, specifically. We talked about laddering.
Uh-huh. Laddering being?
A technique to get from a product feature to functional benefits and then to emotional end benefits. And one of the things that I thought was missing from it was a good summation about the ultimate end benefits, which is self-esteem. And what we did a number of years ago was come up with a paradigm, we call it the Livingston paradigm of self-esteem, which shows that there are four pillars of self-esteem. And the reason for self-esteem is that the ultimate end benefit of any ladder is enhanced self-esteem. In other words, the only reason that we're doing something is because in some way it makes us feel better about ourselves.
Right. I want to interrupt for 1 second, and then I'll get you to go into detail about each of those four pillars, because I think that's what was most important for people.
Okay.
First of all, in terms of the ladder, Sharon, why did you buy those knitting needles?
Well, I went into a store that I trusted, and I think that was kind of interesting also that that was an important part of it, that it was a trusted source. And that would be another ladder to pursue.
From a trusted source could have been a feature that we could have done a ladder on to find the ultimate end benefit.
Right.
Probably would have been something like it feels safe or secure or something like that.
We could do the ladder and see where it goes. But what we said was that they were steel points and they were very smooth. So take me through the ladder. Go ahead.
So you're sitting here with these knitting needles and you bought them from a trusted source and they had steel points that were very smooth.
Right.
Okay. And what's good about having knitting needles that have steel points and are very smooth?
It allows the yarn to go over them easily.
Why is that important?
That allows me to go faster.
Why is it important to go fast when you're knitting?
Well, there's an excitement about seeing the finished product. And the faster I go, the quicker I get to see how these beautiful yarns turn into the thing that I'm creating.
I see. What's the benefit of feeling excited about the end result?
Well, then I get this wonderful sense of accomplishment that I created this beautiful scarf or shawl or sweater or whatever it is. I get to see it and feel accomplished.
Wonderful. What's the benefit of feeling accomplished?
It makes me feel terrific.
I feel
good about myself.
Feel good about yourself, okay.
And you already know, because of our tremendous experience in this, that accomplishment is an emotional end benefit. Other people might not have known that, so they would have had to continue till they got to, I feel good about myself, I feel confident, I feel my self-worth is enhanced, I have better self-esteem.
So you want to keep going until you get there, and then the emotional benefit is the thing just before.
Right. Now, having said that, I've been doing this for so many years that I recognize the emotional end benefits. I mean, we have a long list of them, so I don't have to take it all the way to enhance self-esteem because I know what they are.
Right, but if you're teaching, then you want people to never go there.
And just for no other reason than to prove to themselves that that's what happens.
Uh-huh.
You will always get to enhance self-esteem.
Uh-huh. I want to point out a couple of things why I think this is so important, just to make sure that people are paying attention to the right things.
Sure.
Kind of get excited about it. Let's look at the big picture. Rather than framing marketing as finding a way to communicate a solution for a problem, which certainly it is, we're looking for something that gives us a lot more dimension and richness to craft persuasive communication.
Mm-hmm.
And if all I knew was that you were trying to solve the problem of knitting faster, I might find out that these smooth knitting needles fit that solution, but I really wouldn't know what the mood and the tone of that advertisement should be. That it would have to do with feeling excited and accomplished and all of the images and context that I could place around that now that I know those emotions. The second thing is that when you work from a feature and connect it to its natural and emotional benefits, you're putting yourself in a position where you can use emotional logic. Now, most people, when they think of emotional marketing, they think, oh, I'm going to sell with attitude, and I'm just going to plug in some emotional hot buttons, and that's going to get people to buy my stuff. And we've got a whole series of CDs on why that's a big problem. look at a lot of the Super Bowl commercials or anything, they're all very emotional, but you hardly know what the commercial was for, and they don't necessarily stimulate sales. So this really creates a direct link between specific features, and especially when there's features that are points of difference for your brand.
Like right.
If you've got features and functions that nobody else has, well, when you can ladder those up to the emotional and benefits, then you can sell with attitude, but you can sell with attitude in a way that's logically connected to your point of difference.
And there's different kinds of attitudes, to your point. And that's how we came up with this paradigm of self-esteem. And there are four aspects to it. There are two which are highly charging and get people all hyped up to try something. They create trial.
Right.
And then there are two others that are all about more traditional, the shoulds, the doing the right thing, and those create repeat. And so the best campaigns have an aspect of emotional and benefits that ladder up to excitement and trial, as well as something that makes people want to buy it again.
Just like a really healthy, balanced person will have a combination of id-ego and superego?
Well, yeah. Let's talk about that a little.
I'm actually kind of just restating what you're saying about brands and advertising from my background as a clinical psychologist, that it's important for us to feel well-balanced, that we recognize and accept our desires, the monsters of the id, so to speak.
You know what? Before you go there, uh-huh. You're still remembering the last interview, and I don't think we set it up well enough for people to go there, but we can come back there.
Okay.
Where that came from was when we were talking about the highly charging ones. The first two categories have to do a lot with self and things that are about gratification, immediate gratification. So the first category is what we call healthy narcissism. And what I mean by that, there are important ways when you're becoming yourself and getting to know who you are that it's good. What Glenn just did with me about the needles laddered up to accomplishment, and accomplishment is one of the emotional and benefits that you'd find in the category of healthy narcissism. What you'd also find there are things like I'm creative, I'm productive, I'm financially successful, I'm healthy, I'm free, I'm independent, I have integrity, I'm in control. Things like that, that are all about me in the world with myself, ways I feel proud of myself, good about myself.
So what you're saying now is that after having done thousands of these ladders and looked at all the different emotional benefits that motivate purchase across different categories,
mm-hmm.
You're saying that you found that there's like these four categories, and one of the main ones is what you just described, healthy narcissism.
Yeah, and narcissism very often has a negative connotation, but in fact, in order to be a healthy human being, we have to take care of ourselves and be excited about who we are and find things that are really gratifying. And an accomplishment is not just gratifying, it's also satisfying. It's more long-term. It's not just short-term. The second category that's highly charged and gets us all excited, which I'm sure won't surprise anybody, is love sex. And that's having an important, passionate connection with another person. And I call it love sex, but that even could be with a very good friend. But mostly, it's more about a significant other. And so I feel good about myself because I'm loved by someone who's really important to me. I look pretty to my husband. If I do things that make me look pretty to my husband, then I'll get my feet rubbed, get kisses and hugs. He'll be attached to me. He'll give to me. Same way around with a man with his significant other. So all of those get us all riled up, and we want those very badly, the healthy narcissism and the love sex. And because of them, when product features ladder up to either one of those two categories, they are likely to create trial. We get all excited about them.
Gotcha.
We want to do it. And that's what you were talking about before with the id, like our impulses. They speak to our impulses and things that we want. Categories 3 and 4 are more about traditional kinds of things, the shoulds of society. So category 3 is about nurturance. And nurturance has to do with being a good mother, a good dog owner, a good teacher, a good boss. Very often things, for example, that save time and money, ladder up to nurturance. If you ask a woman, well, what's the benefit of saving time? She'll say to you, well, then I have more time to be with my family. And what's the benefit of that? We get to go to the movies. What's the benefit of that? The kids have a great time. What's the benefit of that? They tell me they love me. So the same thing with saving money. Dad will say, or a mom will say, or the boss will say, I save money, therefore I can give my employee a bonus at the end of the year, and I get appreciation for being a good employer. I save money, I can get the kids that toy they wanted, I get a lot of mother appreciation. Category 4 is altruism. That's about giving back to society, being charitable, leaving a legacy, like Stephen Covey would say, not contributing to the landfill, avoiding disposable products. And these are the things we should do. It's doing the right thing. But what's important about them, they might not get trial, but they get repeat. For example, you know, I've given this example many, many times. I might have even said it in the first one. That's why I was just hesitating. But with pantyhose, the idea of the glimmer and the shimmer and that real fine, sheer stocking was very attractive and made women feel powerful and sexy and all that kind of stuff. But after many, many years of having runs, and not only does a run waste a lot of money, but in addition, if you're walking down the street with a run in your hose and someone's looking at your legs, they don't look very attractive. So it takes away from category 1 and 2. And so the pantyhose industry came out with a solution, which was to create tights and opaque stockings. And that whole industry died because tights were being priced at the same price as sheer stockings, and tights lasted forever. And sheers would run like the first or second time they were worn, unless you were extraordinarily careful and anything but someone who was rough on their clothes. And so women got smart and started buying tights. And dressmakers and fashion designers started creating styles where women could look formal in opaque hose. And so they didn't have to wear pantyhose or sheer stockings anymore. So they got the look plus the durability. And durability almost always leads to nurturance or altruism. So when you can look sexy, categories 1 and 2, and get durability, categories 3 and 4.
That's how you can own a category.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I mean, one of the things that a lot of the pantyhose companies did to try to recoup was to create a sheer look with more durability, but they've never ever really been able to bring that back. We used to work for Sara Lee Hosiery, and the whole department collapsed, as you remember, because they were missing it.
Thank you. I would love to summarize what I think I heard you say.
Okay.
Ask you if you think I'm correct.
Okay.
And then I think it would be wonderful, since you have all this experience working for hundreds of different brands, if you could think of one or two examples of a few brands that did well across all 4 categories. I think to put it as simply as possible, what we're saying here is that people buy stuff because it makes them feel good. And it makes them feel good about themselves, or it just makes them feel better emotionally. And that's a different way of looking at things than saying that people buy things because they solve a problem, although there's a lot of overlap.
You have to have a feature connected to an emotional end benefit. You can't just have an emotional end benefit without an important feature.
Right. Well, no, that's the second thing that we're talking about, is that in order for feeling good to be connected to purchase and really motivate purchase, it's got to be specifically connected to a feature and especially a point of difference for the brand.
Right. Although sometimes if there are identical features, if someone gets smart enough to recognize what the emotional end benefit is,
yes,
and talk about it,
yes,
they can steal it.
Yes, like, oh, was it Schlitz beer? Thinking about that classic story of
right,
the first beer company, that every beer was predominantly a pure beer, we have pure ingredients, but the first company that really recognized that that was a very strong motivator and managed to dimensionalize it by describing how they dug to the deepest well to get the purest water and how they the finest hops and really painted a picture, really owned the emotional motivation in that category. And then becomes difficult, even though all the other brands have the same features, what are they going to do? Say, well, we do that too.
Right.
Because of the way that the mind works, first to mind is usually first to market.
Right.
So, okay, people buy stuff because it makes them feel good about themselves or it makes them feel good. It's powerful when you can connect features and functions of your product to what makes people feel good about themselves.
Right.
There's a group of good feelings that you come to understand after having done thousands of interviews.
Right.
And letters. There's a list of 37 emotional benefits, which people can find on your site, tlgonline.com.
Right, we've called it down to 37 out of like 600 or something like that.
Yeah, but we did a bunch of statistical tests and But what's even more important than that is that you can take those 37 emotional benefits and classify them into four categories. And what you're saying is that you've seen the most successful brands have a strong connection to at least one emotional benefit in each of the four categories. Is that correct?
One from categories one and two, and one from categories three and four.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't have to have a benefit from every category?
No. The ones that create trial, the highly charged, exciting, and categories three and four are ones that create repeat.
Right.
So you want to have trial and repeat.
Got it. Okay. So category one is healthy narcissism. Category two is love sex. Category three is nurturance. And category four is giving back to society or altruism.
Correct.
Okay. Well, did I give you enough time to think of an example?
Well, I was thinking about the story I was saying about my friend Eileen and dark chocolate.
Okay.
Think about this whole resurgence of healthy interest. People want to do the right thing and nurture themselves appropriately, nurture their kids appropriately.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
If you're nurturing yourself, is that category three or category one?
It's a little bit of both. Kind of cool, right?
Okay.
Because very often moms will justify nurturing themselves by nurturing their children.
I see.
But I think that if you see self as other, then nurturance counts because you're doing the right thing. You can count self as the other in that sense. So Eileen is an admitted chocoholic, and in the past year or so, she has made a concerted effort to switch over to dark chocolate. And she'll look for the ones with like 87% chocolate or cacao and less sugar. So she still gets her chocolate hit, but she does it in a healthy way. And that's a whole set of products. I mean, there's one Dagoba that, you know, is expensive and chocolate lovers around the world really fancy it, and it's doing very, very well. And there are other brands who have been copying. I think Dagoba was one of the first to come out with this dark chocolate. And they've got, you know, interesting flavors. And so they create the excitement and all that charge, but they also create repeat because it's good for you, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Just to recap, laddering is a way of going from a feature to a functional benefit to emotional end benefit. And you know you got to the end, particularly if you're inexperienced with the technique, when someone says, finally, I feel good about myself. It enhances my self-esteem. I'm confident. Confident sounds like a separate benefit, but it really isn't. It's just another way of saying I feel good about myself. And the thing before any of those is the emotional end benefit. We have a list of 37 of them on my website, www.tlgonline.com. If you look through the article section on laddering, you'll find that list. There are the four pillars of self-esteem: healthy narcissism, love sex, nurturance, and giving back to society or altruism. The top two, categories one and two, lead to trial. There are things that are highly charged. And the bottom two lead to repeat. And any good campaign incorporates features that ladder up to something from either category one and two and something from either category three and four, because you want to get trial and you want to get repeat. And that's it in a nutshell.
Perfect. That's really great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darlene.
Okay.
Thanks very much for your time and attention. If you'd like to find out more about the comprehensive marketing research system I've used to succeed in market after market, please visit howtodoubleyourbusiness.com. That's howtodoubleyourbusiness.com.